Are you there, Sanjay?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, awesome. All right, awesome. Well, I'm glad you're able to make it, Ms. Sophia. Real quickly, I'm going to go ahead and do our introduction real quick, and then I will have you come on, all right? So just give me a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Because we are on...
And yeah, make sure that make sure you introduce me as the creator and the owner, creator of the Matrix and Terminator movie franchises, not the tagline, because, you know, that goes with those music people, those taglines.
I told you that's exactly what I told you. I am really, really excited right now. I don't know how to control myself, but I'm going to do my best, okay?
All right. Well, just take your time. Everything is just simply marvelous.
Yes.
Take your time.
Definitely. Definitely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, all my friends, family, all those who are on Facebook Live and Real Campaign Podcast, we are about to get started. So if you're in, that's great. If you're not, you can catch this later. But, we are going to get started, starting now. All right, greetings, wholeness, balance, and vibrations to all. Welcome to the Truth Revealed Campaign, TRC. I am your host, Tristan Oluwalin Martin Jr., better known as Tom J., who's dedicated to bringing you the most in truth. Please sit back or forward and get ready for the Truth Train Ride. I want to give thanks for joining us tonight. We have a very special guest in the house. I mean, a very special guest. I know you could be anywhere in the world right now, but we greatly appreciate you stopping by to listen to us. If you are not a truth seeker, if you are a lover of lies, this podcast will not serve you any purpose. However, the information that's going to be revealed here tonight may cause cognitive dissonance. If you are the lover of truth, please proceed, and it shall set you free. So tonight, like I was saying, I have a very special guest in the house, extremely special. I'm going to go ahead and introduce her, and then I'm going to allow you guys to be graced by her presence. The guest we have on the phone tonight, that's any old guest. This is an advanced dean, extremely advanced dean. Her name is Sophia Stewart. She is the writer, the owner, the creator, the screenwriter of Terminator and the Matrix movies. She's a child prodigy, prolific writer, poet, and creative genius. That's definitely the field term that we use to describe her. So, she's currently continuing her epic work in the upcoming Matrix 4 movie, which is destined to supersede the extraordinary success of The Matrix and The Terminator, and her as the most profound master writer of our 21st century. I would like to introduce to you guys Miss Sophia Stewart. Welcome, Miss Sophia.
Well, thank you for having me, you guys, today. I appreciate it very much. And I'd like to add that I'm the owner and creator of the Matrix and Terminator movie franchises, because they are franchises. And a lot of people don't think about them like that because they see them as movies. But they are really billion-dollar franchises.
Yes, they are. They are actually, out of all the movies that I've ever seen throughout my entire life, they're going to be always the number one in my mind. So, if you will, Ms. Sophia, can you please just tell us just a little bit about yourself, just things that others don't know already that you would like to share with us? Because I really, on this interview, because a lot of people didn't get to hear the other one, but they can always go back into the podcast and listen to it. So a lot of stuff you covered, but I want to get into just who you are, you know, what do you live, what do you do, you know, just, I want to get to know you, Ms. Sophia Stewart. So can you share with us?
Yes, I'll be very happy to share with people, because I think a lot of people have a lot of confusion on the internet, and a lot of confusion and ignorance all over the social network. I think because people in Hollywood, the defendants that I've gone up against numerous times, three particular court cases, have got the people really, really confused as to who Sophia really is. I'm from New York City, the Boogie Down, which is the Bronx, the same as J-Lo.
Okay.
He's from the Bronx, and you know J-Lo from the Bronx. And Diddy is from New York, and Jay-Z, he's from New York, and Nas, and a host of a lot of others that everybody knows, they're from New York City. So I'm a New Yorker, and I love New York, and whenever I go to New York, my peeps, they all are very, very happy to see me. So I'd like to say that I got a degree in journalism, a double major in law and psychology. I'm a prodigy. Prodigy is an enigma, a mystery. Prodigy is somebody like Tesla or Leonardo da Vinci. I'm a polymathematician, because that's what they are. We deal with mathematics. The universal language is math. So I didn't do any high school. I took the New York Regents and went into college and got a degree, a bachelor's degree, a major in law in psychology. I studied to be a lawyer and a doctor. And I, being a polymathematician, I can crack the codes on systems. And I only had 3 lawsuits, and I won 2 of the lawsuits. The first case in California got dismissed because these lawyers that one of them sent to sabotage my case. And I won the Utah case, and I won the Nevada case just recently here, March 5th, 2019, waiting on the new judges to come on the bench and sign off on my default judgment decree. It hasn't been in the news a lot, but it's all over the internet because, well, a lot of the studios and the people in the entertainment business own the media. They own a great deal of the media. And I've been telling people that for years, but a lot of people are beginning to understand and believe it now. You guys have been totally programmed and totally jacked into the matrix. And I've been trying to free for years. And they got all this mess on the internet that I'm some woman that was unemployed in the 70s. Oh, that's a joke. I was a kid in the 70s. And I was in the 80s, I was at USC, some school. In the 90s, you know what I'm talking about? I was in the entertainment business. I used to work for the studios, Columbia Pictures, television, Channel 13 out of New York with an Oscar award producer, Perry Miller Gatto. I used to work for a national magazine out of New York City, so I did media work. And so I don't know this fictitious person that they made up, the angry black woman, that was crazy and all this stuff. Well, you know, crazy people don't win lawsuits, and they don't beat 7 law firms, and they don't write books, because I'm an author of several books, besides being a screenwriter. And you see my work, The Matrix and Terminated. They adapted my script and my book and a great many of movies, known and unknown, have been stolen from my work, my copyrighted work.
That's right.
That's another thing, that's a fallacy that they've been floating around. like my work wasn't protected. They just tried to confuse the people any way but loose. And, but tell them the truth.
Yes.
So I think like I've got over 4,000 media interviews of the magazines, newspapers, podcasts, webinars. I've done blogs, you name it. I'm pretty sure I've done some of that media. So this has been going on not for no long time either. I just discovered the theft in 1999. So that was only 20 years ago. So this has only been going on since 1999. Even though the work was created in 1981 while I was at USC Film School, it was stolen in 84 by the SWAT and his clonies and clonies too, because there's some of my like clones. Meaning, you know, clones as in copying and programmable, you know what I'm saying, and trying to steal and trying to hustle and take what doesn't belong to them and try to put a message that, you know, is not the message that God gave me for the work. So I want people to know that these people still continue trying to steal, but trying to give you guys some old stuff that I did 20 or 30 years ago. But they can't carry on the work because James Cameron never created or wrote The Terminator. He can't even write. You guys have never seen anything he's ever written. Which is so funny and hilarious. And you can look at the old Terminator that they're trying to bring out right now. That's from the 80s. And I know you saw the trailers come on Dark Fate. The only dark fate there is for Cameron and his cronies. The dark fate for theft. And yeah. The theft and then going to prison.
That's right.
I'm serious. Have you guys seen the old trailer? The old grumpy old Terminator trailer? Oh, yeah. Linda Hamilton and Schwarzenegger. The Terminator was never about Linda Hamilton. It was never about old Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, but it was about Neo, the one, James B. John Connor, who grows up to be Neo, one and the same in the Matrix. And it's past, present, and future time travel. And they don't want to talk about that because they don't understand time travel. They don't understand my concept. They can't use my concept. And I told them they can't use my character, Sarah Connor, and the Terminators. Because I created those characters, those graphics, those special effects.
Wow.
The red and the blue pill, I'll be back.
Yeah.
And he's so fond of saying, those are dialogues straight out of my book. And I just told people, you guys are very familiar with this. The Harry Potter book, the Harry Potter movie. The Maze book, the Maze movie.
Mm-hmm.
Lord of the Ring book, Lord of the Ring movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Third Eye Nation. Third Eye Matrix and Terminator.
Yeah.
Because the Third Eye Matrix and Terminator is the eye of God, because we're talking about the third eye, because we have two eyes, but there's another eye, all seeing eye, the eye of God. And we're talking about the Matrix, so that's the woman's womb. And we're talking about Terminator, end time revelations. We're talking about the end where the machine, artificial intelligence, enslaved mankind and tried to terminate God's children, man, which are three-dimensional beings with a soul or a seed. So this, what I wrote, was the second coming of the Christ consciousness, the evolutions of consciousness, man versus the machine. In other words, the Terminators and the future. When they get ready to enslave mankind, before that, they hear the prophecy, the oracle's prophecy, that a baby is going to be born. That's going to destroy them and the future, this savior, this hero. And they know that Sarah Connor is going to be the mother of this baby. So this is why they time traveled to the past to kill Sarah Connor and the Terminators. And you don't, nobody knows this story but the creator, the writer and creator of the work.
That's right. This is you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me. So this is why you see the Terminator, and he's time traveling. He's coming out of a burning blue portal, and he lands naked without shame. Well, that's how you come out of the Matrix, the womb, the woman's womb. You come out naked without shame.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, the machine doesn't know he's a machine. He's wrapped in flesh, killed but cannot be killed. Is a Terminator that comes to terminate Sarah Connor so she won't have the baby Neo. And Kyle Reese, go back to the first Terminator, everybody, and this bears out because you guys have never heard this story until you heard it from me on countless of my interviews on YouTube. Kyle Reese time traveled from the future to the past to try to save her. And he inadvertently falls in love with her and gets her pregnant, but he has to go back to the future. He can't stay in the past. And so now it's like the Immaculate Conception. She's pregnant with this baby. Did she fall in love? What happened to this man? It's all there in the Third Eye Matrix book, the epic
yes,
story.
I have the book, too.
Mm-hmm. Am I right or wrong? You were reading the book. Is this not
you
the story?
You are 100% right. I got the book right here on PDF. Yes.
Yes. So it's trying to tell people, you know, because Terminator doesn't make any sense. She's not one. Sarah Connor cannot. Cameron and Tim Miller trying to make her a Terminator killer, like, you know, wanted dead alive, like the bounty hunter, Steve McQueen. And he goes out hunting bounty hunters. You know, he's a bounty hunter hunting, you know, the bounties on people's heads. Where they're trying to make you look like her and Schwarzenegger are out there killing Terminators. That doesn't make any sense. Hunting down Terminators and killing them, that's not the story. The story is about John Connor, which goes up to be Neo, and his journey. And how he defeats the machines and how the machines are ever evolving. They go through evolution. And we go through evolution, like we crawl before we walk before we run. Mm-hmm. We go through evolution also. So the machine goes through evolution. So if you look at the old Terminator, it's retarded.
Yeah.
They're still old machines, 30 years later, 40 years, they're still the same. No, that's not going to happen. Everything goes to evolution, everything, no matter what it is, everything changes into something greater or better. It doesn't retard and go backwards. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, we even got Monopoly money. Come on, even the money has gone through evolution.
Uh-huh.
You want to talk about, look, we have Monopoly money. With strips in it, you know, the puzzle up. So everything goes through evolution. Everything changes. Evolution means that everything must change. Nothing remains the same. But go ahead, ask your question.
Yes,
oh.
I think that's Muna, my co-host, right? Muna, go ahead. And
yeah, I just want to ask. So, what was your inspiration for the Third Eye?
The Third Eye Matrix and Terminator, because they're one and the same. You can't separate them. That's just like you asking J.R. Tolkien what is his inspiration for the book, and the book and the movies are one and the same, because that's why all I had to do was put the movies in. I didn't have to put in the copyrights. I didn't have to put in the manuscript or the script. All I had to do was put in the movies, because the movies are the book. And I need to, and I'll give you my inspiration too, but I need to explain this to people, because people are just completely oblivious about this. They don't know how movies are made. They think movies and books are... Yeah, well, I have to teach, because this is one thing that a lot of people have never been taught. The architect or the engineer is the creator. The architect is the creator of the bridge and the
the buildings. The engineer is the creator of the car. And they create a blueprint. And that's what a script in a book is, a blueprint. Without that blueprint, the construction crew can't put up the bridge, or they can't work on the car assembly and assemble the car.
That's right.
They're one and the same. They're not separated, because just like when you go and you buy a sofa or you buy a chair, you have instructions. It's the sheet of paperwork. It teaches you to put it together. Without that instruction, you don't have a chair.
That's right.
That's the blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
So my inspiration, because the movies, there are little working ants and little working bees, and they're following the script. It's called a shooting script. Without the shooting script, that shooting script comes from the book. Without that book, you have no movie. That's right. Without the architect's blueprint, you have no bridge. There will be no George Washington Bridge, no Golden Gate Bridge in California, okay? Without the engineer's blueprint, the people on the assembly line putting the car together they can't put the car together. They're not the inventors or the creators. So the people who did the movie, they're not the creators or the inventors.
That's right.
They're nothing but the construction workers.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, but y'all need to know. Y'all need to know.
It's true.
Go ahead.
The way the movie actually, the way they brought it out was actually all fictitious. It wasn't even what you intended it to be. So they got it wrong. No, listen. No, no, no. They didn't get it all wrong. They got the
first Matrix and the first Terminator right. That's why it made billions of dollars. Yeah. But what they tried to do with Matrix 2 and 3 was wrong. They tried to change the concept and it failed. And that's why Matrix 2 and 3 are dreams.
I didn't really understand them.
Well, because all they were shoot my bang bang, because they didn't know how to write a concept. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Storyline. They didn't know how to write. All they do is know how to, you know, tear down and destroy. That's all killing and special effects and graphic on some movies is just destroying. They don't even have a storyline. Just a lot of killing, creative killing. Well, let me see. Let me count the ways that I can kill something or someone or tear down or blow up something or destroy something or burn it down or blow it up or shoot it.
Or have a
destroy it. Yeah, but that's what you're looking at in the movies now. And they got special effects and graphics to make it look all gory and different. Instead of a storyline, because they can't write. They're not writers. You see what I'm saying? So they thought if they could give you some special effects, you won't care about the writing.
Right.
They don't understand there's a lot of intelligent people out there.
I was gonna say, people still care about good writing.
Yeah, people care about good writing, and people still care about a storyline. They care about a lot of things, and so when you look at stuff now, this is why the movie theaters are empty, because if you don't get good master writers, and that's what I am, a master writer, writers that can write any form or genre, whether it's comedy, whether it's adventure, espionage, mystery, science fiction, you see what I'm talking about, adventure, a thriller. You know what I'm saying? So, animation. I can write graphic novels. I can write any form of genre. That's what a master writer is. But there is only certain writers out there, like certain doctors. They specialize. There may be writers that only do comedy, or they only do drama. They only do science fiction. They only do one or two things, but they can't write in every field. Yeah, that's right, because everything is specialized now. Just like the doctors, they used to be the old doctor was the master doctor. He could operate, he could do your throat, your eyes, your ears, your nose. He could do the foot, but now you have to go to certain doctors. They're specialized. Yeah. You might see a blood specialist. You might need to see a heart surgeon. You might see, you know, foot doctor or head, you know, neurologist, you know, for your head. So it's the same way with writers.
I agree.
They don't have the master writer. That's the thing that's missing in Hollywood, and this is why you see such garbage now.
That's right.
And they're dusting off a lot of their old scripts that they rejected 20 or 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Now they're like Kitchen with Melissa McCartney and Tiffany Haddish and the other lady from The Handmaiden. They're all doing an old script, and it looks so weird to see them in an old script that they had, you know, had dusted off and tried to, you know, because they can't write, and they don't have writers in Hollywood, like, or master writers, and most people don't even want to sell them their books that they have to the screen, because they made just garbage out of a lot of people's work, like the Japanese guy, their Asian guy that did Speed Racer, his work from the 60s, and they adapted it, it was horrible, and David Mitchell's book, Clap Atlas, I'm sure he was horrible, and Alan Moore, the English writer of V for Vendetta, that was horrible. He didn't even want his name by his own work.
Wow.
Because the Wachowskis was garbage. This is garbage. They can't write. They're garbage. They're liars. Thieves. I mean, and you don't call them just numerous of times on interviews, and people say, well, they found no slander or defamation, because it's true. The FBI and the DOJ's files, and they can't write. I mean, come on, you guys, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that James Cameron's whole career and the Andy and Larry Wachowskis was based off lies and theft.
But
James Cameron, yes.
Let me say this, because I have to say this. I can vividly remember when I was sitting on the couch with my father, because he's the one who actually introduced me to The Matrix and Terminator. And I remember vividly, it was like it was yesterday, when we watched part one and two. But then when they started doing all this extra stuff, I personally stopped watching it, because it looked like they took a lot of information that should have been talked about throughout the remainder of them, but they were left out. And it wasn't as interesting, it wasn't thought-provoking, it wasn't stimulating, and I knew there was something wrong. And that's why I stopped watching.
Because most of the people that they hire to write are just mundane writers. They're not gifted writers, they're not creative writers. Because even in the field of writing, there are different writers. The creative writers are the most phenomenal writers of all. But there's technical writers, there's all kind of industrial writers, just all kind of various of different writers, like different doctors, like I was telling people, that specialize in everything. And there's a lot of people who can visualize things in their minds, the writers, but they can't articulate them on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the master writers come in. And you saw Stan Lee, he was a master writer, and J.R. Tolkien, but they're both dead now. You know what I'm talking about, the late Stan Lee and the late J.R. Tolkien.
So what I'm trying to get you... Oh, I'm sorry to cut you off. So these masters...
No.
You and the other master writers, you all have training in all disciplines of writing?
Well, it's not that we have a gift, because what happened was, I'm going to tell you, my inspiration came from God. I was inspired by God because, you know, I thought about the second coming of Christ when I saw Lucas's work, Star Wars. Lucas was talking about how Satan, Lucifer, the devil, how he fell from the light side to the dark side. And I thought about, well, what about the second coming of the Christ? Because in Revelation, the Bible said he's coming back, and what's going to happen? Well, as a little kid, I'm in the seventh grade, and I have an English teacher, and she gets sick. And when teachers get sick, they would come in with a substitute. And so they sent over a college professor who taught at the college level of writing. I'm different from my English teacher, you see, but I already had the gift inside of me. Mm-hmm. And he told us when he got in the first day of class, he said, I don't know much about English, but I do know about writing, and I'm going to teach you guys how to write.
Nice. So-
First day of class, he said, I don't know much about English, but I do know about writing, and I'm going to teach you guys how to write.
Nice.
So I was like Venus and Serena playing tennis in grade school. And Tiger Woods playing golf, and he's 3 years old. The gift is already inside of us. But you said a master tennis player, a master golfer over to teach that gifted individual, they're going to become masters.
That's right.
They're going to become superstars.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. That's right. And
Michael Jordan, the same way, when he was taught basketball when he's little, the gift is there. And if the gift has to be there, because everybody becomes a superstar and a master, and they make, you know, hundreds of millions and billions of dollars. These are phenomenal individuals. These are the type of individuals that come upon the earth every 100 years, and they change the game for everybody and everything.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm talking about? There's different levels of people, different levels of stars. But you are judged by the success of your work. And yeah. Your work sells in the millions and the billions of dollars. This is how people look at your accolades, and they look at you because, say, for instance, you're Picasso. You don't have to lie that you're Picasso. Hell, when you see Picasso's painting and his work, it tells you who he is, his work. Not somebody bragging about him, but his work. Mm-hmm. And so, like these people, they can go right now and find a Picasso in an old building right now that's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. You see what I'm saying? And put your name on it, and put your name on it. But guess what? You can lie and get the money, but then when people are waiting for the next episode, what the hell are you going to do? You're going to try to mimic the one you found.
So you can't
try to copy. Try to copy it and try to change it a little bit and try to sell it, resell it. And people say, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
That's not the real work.
That's how you
that's what Cameron and them did with the Terminator, Dark Fate. Tried to mimic my work.
Yeah, they lost me.
They didn't eclipse the work because all master creators eclipse their work. Eclipse me. Their work gets greater. The more they do their work, the greater it becomes. That's so right. You're going to mimic Michael Jackson's old steps from 20 or 30 years, but you're not going to eclipse them unless you're Michael. You're not going to eclipse the work unless you're Prince.
That's right.
But when you're creators, your work don't retalk. You don't go backwards and be retarded. It becomes greater. I'm cracking up laughing because I'm like, hey, what is wrong with people? Have they lost their minds or what?
Yeah. And that brings a great segue, Miss Sophia, into you being a child prodigy. I want you to speak on that. Like I know you said you got your inspiration from God, right? And
yes, I did. I was inspired by God because
God. Yeah. Can you speak on your vision? How did you get that?
Well, mostly because I'm a prodigy, and most people don't understand what a prodigy or enigma is. It's a person who are very deep thinkers, and they're well-versed in mathematics. And if you knew that the whole world and your whole life is governed by numbers, that the universal language is mathematics, not words, and if you realize that witches and warlocks and they use spells or spelling. That's where the spells and spelling come from, and why people would get their butts whipped if they didn't do their spells or spell. Because when somebody said, "Make you that song, I cast a spell on you."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a spell is like hypnosis. Somebody can hypnotize you. That's what a spell is. They can hypnotize you and make you believe a lie, create a program, and make you believe the bull. But creators create with math. So all creators, all architects, all inventors, all engineers, they all use math to create. Because if I'm creating the George Washington Bridge or the Golden Gate, I have to know math, and I have to know quantum physics. I have to know calculus. I need to know ancient sacred geometry.
That's
you know
right.
what I'm talking about? Because I'm dealing in lines and points and calculations and how this bridge is going to sway when the wind blows, or how it's going to sway if the water hits it. Do you see what I'm talking about? Will it crumble? Will it survive? Or how many cars, they weigh 2 tons each, can go on that bridge without it collapsing? So do you see? Everything is dealing with numbers, but you don't. They're not teaching you that. Because if you studied mathematics, you would be phenomenal. You would be a creator, a co-creator here with God.
Yep.
And you will create some of the greatest inventions in the world.
Yes. Yes.
Did you know that?
By knowing and studying your math,
because you can't create that bridge without math. You can't create that car without math. But you can't create that chair or that bed.
Look
at the numbers, how they rule our lives. Look. We have a birthday. We have a social security card. We have a driving license. We have an address. We have a license plate on the car. Everywhere we look, there's cash registers. And we got money we're pulling out of our pants pockets or our purses or wallets.
Yes.
And we're calculating every day. I'm calculating how long is going to, how many, numbers or steps it's going to take before I have to stop at that red light, or what is it going to take me to parallel park, or how long is it going to take me to go from point A to point B, geometry, in a straight line. If I go in a straight line, I'll get there faster if I go around.
Yep.
So, they don't teach you this.
No.
For me, I can recall when I was in school, I studied biochemistry in college. And I was wanted to, you know, dive into the sciences because I found that when I was in high school, when I was studying chemistry, I understood the algebra. And when I was studying physics, I understood the calculus better. A real life situation helped me understand the math because it's all over. It's all around me.
A lot of people have car wrecks because of mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
But like, they don't ever bring that issue up. They don't tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
But if a lot of times when people are calculating and trying to park, they run into something because they're not well geared in math.
Yep.
Wow.
Did y'all know that?
I didn't know that. The only thing I do remember them saying, because I remember this distinctively, when I was in high school, I got geometry very quickly, and then when I went into calculus, I struggled. Struggled with it all. But when I got into algebra, all the kids understood the algebra. I had the hardest time understanding the algebra.
Well, you know why? Because algebra is new math, and it's a hybrid math. You see, calculus and physics and, you know, quantum physics and calculus and ancient sacred geometry, these are all old math.
Yes.
So that's
general math. And general math is old. Those are old. But this new math is the hybrid math that they created, which doesn't make a damn bit of sense. That's why they want you to have the book open and why they have you with the calculus in your damn hand. Because it doesn't make a damn bit of sense. I'm not keeping it real with you guys.
No, it's real.
I'm glad you did. Yeah, it's hybrid. It's hybrid now. It's created by man. Garbage. Because all you need to learn is ancient sacred geometry, which is the flower of life. General math, which is addition, subtraction, multiplication. You know what I'm talking about in division. And the other one, calculus. Do you know what calculus means? I'm calculating how long it's going to take for me to get to point A to point B, or to make a parallel park, like I was saying earlier. Or how long is it going to take to calculate the statistics? How long is it going to take me to get to, from LA to New York City by train? You see, calculus and quantum physics is what you see in the Matrix, you know, where they're swinging from one part of the building to the other building, you know? They're doing stuff that's way out, quantum.
Yeah.
You know, it's a quantum, means it's a sum, and it's involved in physical movements, you know, like a somersault. It's just like a transpeed artist, like an artist that's walking on a line, you know, and balancing themselves, or, you know, when there's those people in the transpeed, you know, when they're up in the air and they're flying in the air, the artist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How long, you know, would it take for me to catch this person? And if I miss catching them, they're going to fall to their death or fall in the net. You know what I mean?
Oh, the trapeze artists. Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Those artists, when they're flying and when they're walking.
They definitely have a different sense of spatial orientation.
Mathematics. They have math. Because if you don't understand math, you would not be able to do that type of work.
True.
You won't be able to do a lot of that circuit work. So when you look at the matrix, you look at the numbers raining down. You know, look at those numbers, and those are the logos. And these people, when they sold the work and adapted it to the screen, they didn't know what the work was about when they stole it. Do you understand? It just looked good. It looked cool. You know how, like, you find something, you find a ball, and it looks beautiful, it looks cool, but you don't know how it works. Or you find an alien gun, but you don't know how it works, and, you know, it looks really cool, and you mess with it, and you find out that it has some incredible dimensions to it. Do you see what I'm talking about? But you don't know what the hell it is.
Yep. And you know what?
When you mentioned math,
I have to tell you something. I remember when I first came to America in 1991, and prior to that, the way we used to do math in my home country, Liberia, we literally had to use our mind. There was no such thing as a calculator. So if you did not know the numbers, that means you didn't study well enough, and you were basically severely punished. So everyone didn't want to get punished, so they had to learn that math. And then, like you talk about the basic math, the addition, the subtraction.
So the basic math.
Yes. I was so good at that. I just know how to do everything in my head. But I remember coming into America, that thing went out the window. First, I got shown what a calculator is. We want you to get to the person fast, you want you to do this in a certain amount of time, instead of allowing people to use their brain, they want everything quick and fast, because the brain is the computer.
And if you don't use the brain, which is the computer, then you are actually going backwards. You're actually retarding your whole progress, because look, they're teaching kids, they grew up on the computer, but they don't know how to do cursive writing. They don't know how to sign their names.
Yeah.
You guys got to think about that for a moment. Right. Now, let's go back, like what you just said. They taught us to use our brains, but look, now because you lose your phone, you don't know how to contact anybody because everything is programmed in the phone.
So
if you lose your phone, why are you going to get in contact with your people?
You're done. Yep,
and you know what? You're right. Your brain is a computer because when I was at school, a lot of the times when we had to do our tests and our entrance tests and such, they didn't allow us to have calculators. Because
it's time,
and your brain works faster than that calculator.
Because you know why? Because your brain is the one that created the calculator. The calculator didn't create you. The calculator, the cart doesn't come before the horses. The horses come before the cart. Do you see what I'm talking about? The horses are pulling the cart. The cart is not pulling the horses. So your brain is the calculator. People, they would come up to me and they would say, Sophia, what are we going to do? So, you know what I'm saying? What if we lose everything? I said, so what if you lose everything? You didn't lose your mind.
That's right.
Your mind is what created everything. That's secondary. It didn't come first. You came first. And you were the thing. Like when they would say to me stupid stuff about books, I said, well, what book taught you? I said, the book didn't teach me. I taught the book. I wrote the book. The book didn't write me. And I'm talking about in general that we write the books and people, they learn from the book because the book is the extension of the mind. But the mind is greater than the book because the mind came first, which is the computer, the mind, the brain.
That's right.
And it manufactured the book, so the book is secondary. And they would say stupid programs to me. I said, I wrote the book. The book didn't write me. So if the book burn up tomorrow, I'll write another.
That's right.
What are we gonna do? They would say stupid stuff to me about money. I said, how long have you been here on Earth? 20, 30, 40, 50 years? If you've been here 50 years, you know something. You know that spices used to be money. Something always takes the place. Because they thought, what if we lose all our money? I said, they might make rocks. Might be the money. You got to go out there and get all the rocks you can get before everybody get all the rocks up. Gather all the rocks. I said, because if you go and you research, I said, go research money. It used to be spices. It used to be furs and animals, horses. It used to be gold. It used to be gold nuggets. It used to be gold dust. It used to be gold coins. Or coins.
Yep.
And then it went into being paper. And then digital coins, then little invisible coins. Okay, come on. Bitcoin. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with these people? Are they in the matrix or are they dead? Brain dead. And they're serious. But wait a minute, they're serious when they ask me these questions. They are very, very serious. Like, if money disappeared, what am I going to do? Am I going to die? I'm like, no, hell no, you're not going to die. You're going to be fine because you are the creator.
That's right.
And all you got to do is sit and say, well, hey, let me find something that's better than paper. Mm-hmm. Let me find something that's better than coins.
I think that's such a
good thing. And you will create.
And you will create. When they had Kids in School, and I recall being a kid in school, and we had art class, and then every year the kids just got worse and worse in art. So they're deviating from I guess their original information that they came here with, right? So you kind of get ill.
What they're doing is not deviating, but they're restructuring, reprogramming these people's minds to be helpless.
Yeah.
To be robotic, to be robots. In other words, they want routine, but they want a creator. Do you understand? Because the creator will go outside of the box. That's what a prodigy and a genius do. They go outside of the box. And they will create stuff. And the people who want you to be a robot, you will go beyond them. And then, that scares the hell out of them because they can control a robot, but they can't control a creator.
Say it again.
They can control the robot, roll somebody robotic and control their minds and their actions and their work.
but they cannot control a creator.
Mm-hmm.
A creator is like Tesla, and he created, look, the, do you know the towers that you're using for your cell phone came from Tesla? That's right. The wireless internet that you're using came from Tesla. The wireless light bulbs and the wireless everything you're using came from Tesla's patents.
Let me tell people this.
Wait, this is very important. And everything with the switch is dealing with Edison. So if they cut your water off, cut your electricity off, they cut your internet off, that's Edison. Direct current and Tesla alternating current. And Tesla was trying to tell you that alternating current was free. That Wi-Fi internet is free.
Yeah.
That electricity is free. Go look at the solar panels.
Yep,
it's free. We can harness the sun. That's why God gave us the sun. And people were like, well, what if
that's the storm?
I say, well, what if... Go ahead. No, what were you going to say? Okay.
I'm sorry, but that's free nuclear energy right there.
Right there. Yeah, because you're harnessing solar energy. You're harnessing the sun, the energy of the sun. So I was telling people, it doesn't matter if everything is destroyed tomorrow. It's only innate stuff. It's nothing but innate stuff. And even if you destroyed it, the next stuff you create will be greater than what you destroyed because evolution takes place. So something greater always takes the place of something lesser. And something that's old, something new is going to take the place of. And you cannot have the same. You know, everything must change. God says this is the law. Everything must change. Nothing can remain the same. So we all have to evolve and go through evolution to become greater individuals, greater inventors, greater creators, greater scientists, greater doctors. You see, greater whatever we are.
So the greater change is going to come.
That's right. The change must come. And these people who are retarding the progress of change are the ones who want everything to remain the same so they can make a robot out of you. They can make a slave out of you. They can enslave you. They don't want any change because their good lives, but whatever they've had for 20 or 30 years is coming to an end. It's like IBM and Xerox, Apple and Microsoft took their place. Back in the day, IBM and Xerox was huge in the 80s. I mean, they were the Apple and the Microsoft of that period of time.
Yeah.
But when the internet came, they didn't know what the mouse was. The mouse was symbolic to the internet, and they didn't know what that was. And they passed on it, and this is how Apple and Microsoft, especially Apple, become the $1 trillion baby.
Yeah.
$1 trillion company, $1 billion and $1 trillion companies. And look at this stuff right now. The studios was there. They just stole, and now they have stolen themselves out of progress, out of creativity. They've atrophied themselves out of business because their business was dependent on the people's business, because they used to buy people's scripts and their books and their stories and all kinds of stuff. And this is why we had great diversities in movies, and people went to the movies and supported the movie industry because they would see their story on the screen, they would see their book on the screen, they would see their script on the screen, or their short story or their poem or their music turn into movies.
Yeah.
But the Hollywood greed, the greedy Hollywood studios and executives decided to steal the people's work. They stole from the congressmen. They stole from the mobsters, the Gambino family. They stole from their own producers and actresses and singers and people. And they just stole from everybody. Authors who had copyrighted work and books and everything. And they didn't know that stealing
actually puts you out of business. It doesn't make you greater because you didn't earn the money. And the law says you can't keep it. There are universal laws that are put in place. They don't teach you this because they don't want you to know this. But you can't reap off of the misery of somebody. You can't go and be Bonnie and Clyde and kill a whole lot of people and think you're going to live a happily after ever prince and princess story. No. You can't. You live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. You kill a lot of people, you're going to be killed. That's your ending. You give what you give. Karma is a bitch. Karma is real.
Yep.
And I don't know how people figure that they can steal and become greater, and all the people who are betting with the thief. Well, I'm going to go with the thief, because the thief, I might want to work with the thief one day. Well, there are no honor among thieves. The thief is going to steal from you and might do you worse than he did somebody who stood up to him. Because he doesn't have any respect for you. Because it's true.
Yeah.
I wonder why people are taking the position to go with the thieves, and there's no honor among thieves. A thief, you rob a bank with seven people. You rob a bank with these seven people, and they turn around, and one of them spend up all their money, and then they come to jack you up. Hey, you know, you still got some of your money? Yes. Well, I need that. Well, what do you mean you need that? You had your portion. I don't care. If you don't give me some of yours or give it all to me, I'm going to go to the cops. I don't mind going to jail. What the hell?
Yep.
It's called blackmail.
Yeah.
People blackmailing people for money. And the blackmailer's getting killed. Because, you know, evil begets evil and good begets good. And that's another form of mathematics. You can't expect to do something good and thinking that evil is going to come from it. No, something good is going to come from good, but something evil is going to come from evil. That's why God didn't want people to repay evil with evil, because all you're going to get is evil. That's how it adds up mathematically. You somebody's done some evil and you turn around and do evil, well, that's nothing but evil. And you can't have any good results because you haven't given anything good to receive. You get what you give. So you get some evil come to you, and then you give evil, you know, you repay evil with evil. Well, there's nothing going to come of it but more evil.
Yes,
and that's what happens with wars.
Mm-hmm. And Ms. Sophia, speaking of evil,
please don't call me Miss Sophia, because I prefer just Sophia, because I know people have a form of respect out there.
Okay.
But, you know, it's not no color purple, and it's not no, you know, I'm from New York, I'd rather be just called Sophia. Let me tell you, no, I know you didn't mean any disrespect, because I heard the energy in your voice. It was a form of respect. And I take it as that, I promise, but I just don't want others to mimic. But I heard the respect in your voice, as God is my witness. I'm telling the truth, am I not?
No, I agree.
It was a form of respect that came out of your mouth. I heard the vibrations, and it had the vibrations of respect. But I don't want others mimicking. You know, you can call me that in privacy, but I don't want others that's listening to your podcast today to mimic and start, you know, calling that and adding some more stuff to my name, because a name is very important. I always told people this too. My name is not Toby, it's Kuti Kente. It's not Toby. You know what I'm saying? Because people don't realize the vibrations of a name can be heard in heaven by God and cannot be heard at all. And this is what the slave owners and the people who did evil, they would change your name, because when they're kidnapping you and they're stealing you, and most people don't even understand that, because people would say to me the most stupid things like, well, did you name the children, you know, like say my children got kidnapped in the hospital and their names got changed and whatever, you know, because that's what these do, or kidnappers, they try to hide their crime.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of people understanding that, they would ask me, well, did you name so-and-so that? I said, what do you think Neo is? Neo is an anagram, a sneaky way of calling him the one. N-E-O-O-N-E. Yeah, he was called the one. I said, John the Revelator is the one that called Jesus the one. I said, what do you why do you think it's initials of J.C.? John Connors, J.C. grows up to be Neo, one and the same in the Matrix, and his alias was Thomas Anderson when he was hitting out.
Yep.
And then they wake up, the light bulb come on. Oh, man. But yeah, because you didn't read the book.
Yeah.
That's another thing I need to bring up to teach people. A movie only have an hour and 36 minutes, no more than 2 hours and 10 or 15 or 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
A book has tremendous amount of work.
That's true. You're
adapting from a book, you can adapt many, many scripts and many things, projects from a book. Because you're not going to use the entire stuff. You're only going to use a fragment of information from that.
Know yourself, know your neighbor, and know the truth. Wholeness, balance, and vibration. From the Truth Revealed Campaign, TRC. And this is your host, Palm J. Until such time, stay positive, keep balance, check negative, keep your head on the swivel. Good day, good evening, good night, and see you next time.